So tonight I said before that I want to talk about the sacred pause. And what brought me to wanting to talk about this was that a lot of things have happened over the last few months. Just one blast after another of what could be perceived as difficult, right? But it hasn't been one experience, it's been difficult. It's been one after another, after another, after another. And I have found over the last month or two the importance of remembering and using the sacred pause and how healing it's been and how necessary it's been to get through the tumult of life recently. So what is the sacred pause? I'm going to talk about that, and then the Buddha's take, at least my take on the Buddha's take. And then the challenges around it, and then how to connect with the sacred pause, and to tips for knowing when to connect to it. So obviously, sacred pause is a pause that is a pause, right? It's a stopping. It's a stopping our normal doing and pausing. And I call it a mindful pause to let the sacred in. But to each, like I said, to each one of us, it's different. It depends on your experience. What a sacred pause to you could be totally different from what it means to me. Your experience of it may be totally different. But this sacred, you know, the sacred realm is that of the ultimate realm. Not the worldly or relative or mundane realm, right? That we're usually spending most of our time and energy devoted to and stuck in the mundane, worldly, left brain, get her done realm, relative realm, right? And we can get pretty stuck there. So our practice, as you probably know, is to work as skillfully as we can with the mundane realm, to heal whatever we need to heal when it comes up in the mundane realm, so that we can be balanced and connect with this ultimate realm as well. That the ultimate realm is no better or different from the mundane realm, that they're both two sides of the same whole. But most of us are out of balance. In our society, most of us are stuck in the mundane relative, and we're totally not tapped into, we're totally not connected with this ultimate sacred realm. And when we get just imbalanced like that, life can get extremely overwhelming and almost intolerable. But I'll talk a little bit more about that, the pain around it. But so the Buddha didn't really have a sacred pause. If you go through all his teachings, he never had any terms like pause or stopping or anything like that. But what he did do is, in one, he used a lot of stopping type terminology when he talked about stopping causing harm in our morality practices, right? In one sutta, you may have heard of the Angulimala Sutta, the murderer who was murdering, he was on his 99th, he had killed 99 people, and he was on his 100th person, and the Buddha decided he was going to interrupt him. And Angulimala saw him and said, "I'm going to kill this man." And he was chasing the Buddha, and he couldn't catch him. And so finally, he was screaming to the Buddha, "Stop, stop," because he didn't know why he couldn't seem to catch him. And the Buddha turned to him and said, "I've already stopped. You're the one that needs to stop. Stop killing, stop harming, stop giving in to your anger and to your hurt." And the story is really long, but Angulimala ends up healing and becoming a monk, an enlightened monk at that. There's another time that he told his son Rahula, I think Rahula was 7 years old, it's a sutta advice to Rahula. And he told Rahula that any time before you speak or take an action to stop and to consider whether this action or speech is going to be causing harm or is going to be a value and benefit to all beings, or to that being, or to yourself or someone else. And if it's a benefit, to continue, but if it's going to cause harm, to not continue with that action. So that's the one place he was talking about stopping with our, make sure, don't cause harm. Stop. Consider what you're doing before you do it. Cause the least amount of harm possible. Right? The other place that I feel that the Buddha was talking about stopping or pausing was in his teachings on renunciation. And his teaching said, to experience the highest peace, it's helpful to renunciate from the worldly realm, take robes, give up all your money, all your belongings, and devote your time to meditating, day in and day out. So that's stopping from the material world, removing yourself from the sensual delights and the sensual cravings we can get so easily caught up in with food and materialistic possessions and seeking one fun experience after another, right? To pause and stop and don't get caught up in seeking sensual pleasures and feeding your attachments. And he taught that formal meditation practice was the methodology that we want to take in order to help us to pause and stop. And when we're also, when we're meditating, to look at our train of thoughts and to stop really negative trains of thought and not feed them and not follow negative trains of thought. To pause and have this choice point not to continue to cultivate unhelpful mind habit patterns, right? And that when we do this meditation regularly, the mind can become calm, and then we can see these habit patterns much more clearly. And once we can see them more clearly, we can see where we get caught, where we get attached, what are we clinging to, right? And then see if we can stop clinging to whatever it is that we're so desiring and just be with the way things are right here at this moment. Here's a quote from the Sutta Nipata, one of the Buddha's teachings. As in the ocean's midmost depth, no wave is born, but all is still. So let the practitioner's mind be still, be motionless, and nowhere should they swell. So this is a mind training practice, right? We're training the mind, and the more we train the mind, the more still it will become, the quieter it becomes. But we have to pause. We have to sit and practice. Stop. Pause. So challenges with using a sacred pause or remembering to do the sacred pause. Sometimes just remembering can be quite a challenge. Anybody notice that? Right? So life can be pretty challenging. Life can be hard, right? And somewhere along the line, a lot of us have experienced rejection, not been included, perhaps. And a lot of people got the message that they weren't okay the way that they are, that they're not all right. And so some self-esteem issues may have developed for some of us. Failure is an unacceptable thing in our culture. Anybody notice that? I mean, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? One of the only ways to learn is to fail, and yet it's unacceptable in our culture. Here's a quote having to do with failure. If at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. Weren't you a skydiver, Scott? He was a paratrooper. So what happens is, you know, the society is pretty much fast-paced. Anybody notice that? Right? So even if you had the most perfect upbringing and you plug into society, it's easy to get caught in this real fast-paced doing, achieving way of living. But for a lot of us, what happens if we've had a lot of rejection or fearful episodes or trauma in our life, we end up finding ourselves slightly or majorly bracing against reality, bracing against life, bracing against, you know, someone's coming to talk to me, bracing ourselves against, oh no, what's going to happen this time? Or, you know, feeling the tightness in the belly, in the chest. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a slight, you know, like, oh God, what might happen here? And so what happens when we feel this bracing, this armoring, there's a part of our mind, the mundane realm, the relative mind, that wants to start controlling and manipulating and anticipating potential dangers and trying to avoid potential dangers, right? Here's another quote: never test the depth of your water of the water with both feet. So we get into this like chronic testing the waters, making sure everything's okay. We fear the worst possible outcomes. Anybody find their mind just catastrophizing things that will never ever happen? Right? So that's what happens from this realm. This is the way we're the minds are cultivated in this world. We're born with these minds. So then we start trying to manipulate things the way we want them to be. And then in order to distract ourselves, we start seeking one sensual desire after another. What can I get here? What can I get there? And we're not taught to pause. We're taught to stay busy. We're taught to keep seeking to get the next experience, to get the next higher productivity, or even we're taught to distract ourselves now through the myriad ways that we can distract ourselves with technology. I'm waiting for these. What are those things that you can put on your head and see reality and go into these other realities?
Virtual realities.
Virtual realities. A group of us were talking about that the other day, that we're probably, you know, humans are probably going to be stuck down in the future just sitting there living life as a virtual reality and hardly ever getting out of their places.
Matrix.
You know, the matrix, exactly. We're heading in that direction, aren't we? We're distracted. We're looking for pleasure. We're staying busy when we're not distracting ourselves. And our practice asks us to do the opposite. Our practice asks us to pause, to let in the sacred, to but a lot of us don't want to do that, because when we pause, what comes in?
The things we're averse to.
Exactly. And anything that's unhealed that we've been avoiding is going to come up to be purified in our psyche. Not all at once. Thank goodness. Right? Like the past couple months, I realized what's coming up for me is feeling impermanence at a whole new level. And understanding, and having somewhat of a personal inner crisis with understanding impermanence. I've understood it, had these insights of impermanence, but now I really get it at a much deeper level. Right? So there's a purification of the mind, of the heart happening right now. And it can be rather painful, and we have to be willing, when we pause, to feel whatever needs to arise, whatever needs to be healed, to feel it all. And also, when we stop with the sacred pause, we really don't know what's going to happen, do we? Anything can happen during these sacred pauses. So we have to be willing to connect to the mystery, to the not knowing of what's going to happen next. And of course, the mundane mind doesn't want to do that. Inquiring minds wants to know. Where did that quote come from, by the way? No?
Newscaster.
Was it a newscaster? Yeah. Yeah. Most of the mundane mind wants to know. It doesn't want to not know. It wants to know what's going to happen next. So it takes a deep intention and commitment to be to sacred pauses, taking these timeouts. So tips for helping take sacred pauses, and of course you'll get to share your sacred pauses as well. But I went to a Thich Nhat Hanh retreat. Anybody here been to Thich Nhat Hanh retreat? Okay, cool. And while you're on this retreat, going along in silence between meditation and walking and different things, they ring a bell every so often. And you're supposed to stop and take 3 mindful breaths. And then if they ring another bell, you take 3 more mindful breaths. And you might stand there for 15, 20 minutes taking mindful breaths. But I found that as an inserted forced pause for all of us, which was really helpful. I like that. Now they have an app, a Thich Nhat Hanh mindfulness app that you can download, and it'll ring every so often, and you'll just have to take 3 intentional breaths. Being aware of the very beginning of your breath to the very ending of each breath. I find that I like to pause during regular daily activities. Like whenever I hit a red light, that's an opportunity to pause. And I follow my breath, or I stare at the red light and focus on the color. That's my time to pause. While I'm standing in lines, any lines at the banks or the grocery store or anywhere that's time to pause and do standing meditation. When I'm on my way somewhere, I like to do sacred pauses, because what tends to happen is the mind gets fixated on the road and then just spaces out. And I like to expand my awareness to see the trees and nature as I'm driving. So I'll be driving in the road, but every so often I'm just pausing to look at the beauty of the trees as I go by. So I like to use my trips as a sacred pause. Well, still driving well. If you can do that. I would say commit to 1 sacred pause each day, out in nature, perhaps. I think that would be really important. Take in the beautiful sight. Like maybe if you have a bird feeder, 2 finches are playing in the bird feeder together, trying to get at the same little hole and watch their interplay. Or the sun the other day was going down, the blaze of colors against the sky was so amazing. I had to just pull over and stare at the sky for a moment. Today when I pulled in the driveway after teaching, I teach at a recovery center, mindfulness, and I got home, it was pouring rain and the sound of the rain pelting on my car, and then I could see the rain pouring down the road, rivulets of rain just pouring, water pouring down, and it was beautiful and the sound, and I just sat there for like 5 minutes, sacred pause, watching, hearing the rain. They don't have to be long. They can just be a few minutes. Seeing your daily mindfulness meditation practice as a sacred pause, I like to do that. Having the commitment or the reminder to connect to your inner world, to the inner realm, to the sacred realm. So what are some of the cues that you need or could benefit from a sacred pause? I think one that's really helpful is if I'm feeling very victimized, for me, if I'm angry or feeling righteous indignation, that, oh, it's time for a good sacred pause here. There was one time, You may not know, but I'm Palestinian, and I'm raised in a Palestinian family, and I was the district manager of our nine family Subway restaurants for several years, almost 15 years. And when I first built some of the Subways and we bought some of the others, we had different banks in each. This is Western North Carolina. We had different banks that we banked with. But I really liked First Citizens Bank. Right, and they treated me well, and I went to First Citizens Bank. So I shifted all the Subway restaurants eventually to First Citizens Bank. It was much easier. I could go to one bank, bring all the deposits, and I liked them. I wanted to do business with them, right? And then after 9/11, about 2 months after 9/11, First Citizens Bank sent me a letter and our family, and all of my family members who still have Fakhouri as the last name, luckily I kept my maiden name, Banks, sent us all a letter and say, we will not do business with you anymore. You are instructed to leave First Citizens Bank. Your business is no longer here with us. And then I found out that all the other Palestinian friends and family that we know who run other Subways and other gas stations and businesses all got kicked out of First Citizens Bank throughout North Carolina. So they wholesale kicked out all the Palestinians out of First Citizens Bank. Whew, I needed a big sacred pause. I was ready. I was calling everybody. I was ready to do a class action lawsuit. I was like, isn't this against the law? Talk to some attorneys. But then I realized, I really need to do a sacred pause. I'm out of control here. And I waited, and I sat with it, and I felt my pain and hurt. And then I realized after a month or two that I really didn't want to put my energy into anger, revenge, I wanted to put my energy into my practice, into forgiveness, into love. But it took that sacred pause, if I didn't do the sacred pause, I probably would have caught up for years in litigation against First Citizens Bank. And that's not how I wanted to spend my time or energy. So when you're feeling discombobulated, maybe you're just feeling kind of like, oh, can't find your keys, can't find your wallet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah! Time for a sacred pause, if you have it, if you can take the time, right? If you're feeling any state of suffering, delusion is, I call them, they're both the same. Is sacred pause so you can come up with an appropriate response and not react out of anger or confusion or delusion. When I'm feeling depleted, energetically, emotionally, mentally depleted, it's time for a sacred pause, right? When I'm feeling overwhelmed, so oftentimes when we're in a state of overwhelm or confusion, there's some traumatic energy from trauma, past trauma. And I've heard that, different quotations about how many people have had trauma in their life. And I've heard from 60 to 99% of people on this planet have all experienced some kind of traumatic event or events or life, right? And so when we feel overwhelmed, often it's this traumatic energy wanting to come through and be healed. And we need to pause to allow that trauma energy to be here, to bring kindness and compassion and focus and space. The other day during meditation, I felt like crying the entire meditation. There was just a lot of grief and sadness just coming up. I didn't know why, but can you hold whatever's arriving and arising in you with care, with kindness? Right? I just sat there the entire time holding it, like really precious being, this precious energy that really wanted to be felt. Today at the recovery center where I was teaching, a man said that he's grieving, that he's going through a deep sense of loss and grieving, and the pain that's coming up around grieving. You may have heard this before. I don't know. It's called the duck story. So now we're ready to look at something pretty special. It's a duck riding the ocean 100 feet beyond the surf as he cuddles in the swells. There's a big heaving in the Atlantic, and he is part of it. He can rest while the Atlantic heaves because he rests in the Atlantic. Probably he doesn't know how large the ocean is, and neither do you. But he realizes it's somewhere, and what he does, and what does he do, I ask you? He sits down in it. Duck meditation. He reposes in the immediate as if it were infinity, which it is. That is religion, and the duck has it. How about you? So these regular sacred pauses, they're so important, and they help us ride the waves, the ocean waves of life, the expansions and the contractions, the beauty, the joy, the love, the peace that arises. We get to open with the full heart as well as to the contractions and the fear and the existential pain that might arise as we're healing our trauma or moving forward in our purification processes. The key is to bring mindful awareness to each moment, as much as we can remember to do that, right? What can we accept? What can we be with over and over and over again? This too, and this too, and this too. Here's a quote by Ajahn Chah, the Thai forest monk that was Jack Kornfield's teacher and many other famous teachers' teacher. He said, try to be mindful and let things take their natural course. Then your mind will become still in any surroundings like a clear forest pond. All kinds of wonderful, rare animals will come to drink at your pool, and you will clearly see the nature of all things. You will see many strange and wonderful things come and go, but you will be still. This is the happiness of the Buddha. So practicing regularly these sacred pauses help us connect to something beyond the mundane realm, help us connect to that inner place that's still and that's quiet and that's peaceful and that's nurturing and healing and supportive. Our true nature. That still point, I like to call it the still point within, that's always there. It's never gone anywhere. And we can tap into this inner stillness at any time, even in the midst of total chaos, especially in the midst of total chaos. Right? So we don't want to do this dualistic split where we're in the mundane realm and now we're in the ultimate peaceful realm. And now the key is to be able to bring the stillness, the quiet, the support, the love, this energy into the mundane realm, into each moment, into our lives. Right? Continue to allow yourself to relax and soften into the still point, into the stillness, into the pause. And bring that pause to daily life. And then when we do this, we can let go of striving and be more in this trusting place, this trusting place that a lot of people call the divine, the sacred. Right? And we're resting as a human being in the mundane realm, in sacred energy. Here's a poem by Lee Young Lee. It's Out of Hiding. Someone said my name in the garden, while I grew smaller in the spreading shadow of the peonies, grew larger by my absence to another, grew older among the ants, ancient, under the opening head of the flowers, new to myself and stranger. When I heard my name again, it sounded far, like the name of the child next door or a favorite cousin visiting for a summer. While the quiet seemed my true name, a near and inaudible singing born of hidden ground. Quiet to quiet, I called back, and the birds declared my whereabouts all morning. So that's just a very small dip into the sacred. Let's do another collective deep breath in. Opening, softening, and letting go. Relaxing into this moment. Breathing in again, deep breath in. Softening and letting go. Opening. Thank you so much for listening, for your presence, your practice.